Gospel of Luke.
Preach.
Amen.
Chapter 3, I'll begin reading at verse 7. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for an opportunity to preach it freely and openly, and we thank you for all these that are here listening to hear your Word. I pray that you'd give me that freedom and ease to preach that I need and that only you can give, and that your Holy Spirit will take your Word and apply it to hearts and lives that are here today. Bless us, Lord, for we come seeking thy blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm amazed at a world that I live in that sees God everywhere but doesn't see Him. They see His footprints, they see His handiwork, they see the things that He has done, but they don't recognize that He's the one that did it. In fact, to take some of the most complicated things in the world and to make them an accident with no intelligence behind it, is the height of foolishness. My God's able to do a lot of things. In fact, I've been thinking about impossible things. And this is one of the impossible things. John the Baptist is preaching. And at his preaching, there are an awful lot of people coming out to be baptized. And it's become almost a trend. Let's go out and get revived with Brother John out in the wilderness. We've got this great prophet. And we're going to go out there and we're going to get baptized. It became a popular thing to join John's movement. But John didn't like what he saw. He saw the baptism, but he didn't see the repentance. He saw the confession and the baptism, but he didn't see any change. And so being the sweet, smooth-tongued fellow that he was, he said, O generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes. Who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There's wrath coming. What are you coming out here for? I don't see any repentance, so I don't see any reality. And then he makes a statement that just blows my mind. Look at this. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You're coming out here saying, I'm coming to be baptized. I'm coming to welcome the Messiah because I'm a son of Abraham. I've got a lineage. I belong here. This is ours. It's my heritage. I don't know how many people have given me their heritage when I witnessed to them over these last years. Oh, my daddy was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. My brother's a preacher. Oh, I got a friend that's a deacon. I asked a man if he was saved one time. He said, well, I'm a preacher. I said, that wasn't what I asked you. You can be a preacher and not be saved. In fact, most preachers, by number, are going to hell. You don't know the truth? Most of the religion of the world, most of the religious practitioners of the world are just as wrong can be, and they're going to split hell wide open, religious though they be. You got to be saved. You have to be entered by the Holy Spirit of God and become a spiritual being that can be in contact with God. You don't get that by heritage. I'm a grandfather a number of times, but God never has been. That's something I have that God's never done. There are no grandchildren. If you're trusting because your dad or mother are real believers, or your dad or mother or your grandfather was a preacher of the gospel, or they belong to a certain church, you're trusting in the wrong thing. It won't get you anything. It has no credit. And that's what John was telling them. You generation of snakes, what are you fleeing the wrath to come for? Don't come out here and tell me I'm a son of Abraham. And here's that impossible statement. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto him. Have you thought about that? Now, it sounds like John's just sort of blowing air, doesn't it? It sounds like he's using some great example that's just too much. It just can't be. And he's trying to shock the people. But, you know, I believe what he's saying is exactly the truth. Amen. You know what God could do? He could make those stones stand up and speak. What Jesus said. Remember when they were praising Jesus? He's coming into Jerusalem and the crowds are shouting, Hosanna, welcome to the Messiah, hallelujah. And boy, these Pharisees were upset as they could be. You're giving that country boy too much credit. We don't like all the praise you're giving him. And he said, well, you know, if you shut this multitude up, the very stones would cry out in praise to God. How big's your God? Some of you serve a little bitty God. Some of you got a God so small you can put him on your dashboard. Some of you got a God so small you can hang him around your neck. Some of you got a God so small you can put him in your wallet. Amen or oh me. Do you know how powerful God is? You know what I think? I think most of us Christians walk around absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid about who we serve. We have no idea the power of God. We have no idea what He could do in your life and what He would do in your life if you would let Him. The Bible says in the Old Testament, talking about the Jews, it said, you've hindered the Holy One of Israel. He would have loved to work through you. He would have loved to have done mighty things through you, but you wouldn't let him because of your unbelief. Stupidity. I know that's a bad word, but it's a true word. How in the world can we walk around thinking God does not see? I'm amazed. Now, I'm not amazed at a lost world that believes there's no God, there's no judgment, there's no end, there's no finish. It's just, when I die, I'll be like that mule, just put me in the ground and I'll go back to worms and that's it. I can understand them walking down the road and shooting a man because he doesn't have $25. I can understand them robbing banks. I can understand them raping. I can understand them with war. I can understand them with all their grand ideas. They don't believe there's a God. They're the only God they know. But you, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of me. I know God. He's a great big God. He's a whole lot bigger than you ever imagined. And do you know what? It wouldn't cause Him one moment's pain or problem to raise up children out of those rocks. Do you know who is your God? He's the one that speaks things into existence. All of this stuff that's fascinating, all the greatest minds of the world today in science out there, He just spoke it into existence. The Bible says He put that sky out there, all those stars, with the span of His hand. The span of His hand. And we, with the greatest telescopes the world has ever seen, haven't reached the end of it yet. God is able. Now let me tell you something, friend. That phrase ought to become a part of your vocabulary. I hear a whole lot of what you can't do. I've been told a whole lot of what I couldn't do. But God is able. God is able. You serve a God that can. God is able. I love that phrase. It's 6 or 7 times in the Bible, just that way God is able. And then the Lord will add you some more to it and some other things out there. God has got an awful lot of ability. And this is the impossible. I look at those stones and think, I couldn't eat them. Do you know what Satan told Jesus? Why don't you just take these stones and make them bread and eat them? Do you think he's throwing some off-the-wall thing at Jesus Christ? No, Satan's smarter than that. He knew good and well Jesus Christ could say, be the best bread that ever was baked. And pick them up and satisfy himself. He could do it. Now you look around at your little petty life, and most of our lives are petty little lives. We're so worried about little bitty things that in the whole matter doesn't matter. You lose sleep over things that do not matter. You know what the Bible says? God counts the nations, that's 6 billion people, as the dust on the balance. If they were weighing out potatoes to you this week at the grocery store and they had a balance out there and they're putting out 10 pounds of the potatoes on it, would you worry about paying for the dust? Why not? Nothing to it. It doesn't even register on the balance. I mean, you got dust on one side, no dust on the other, it's still going to sit up there just like this. It's not that heavy. It's so light. When you take a look at the universe and you look at God's great salvation and God's great creation, what is that little problem you've got today? What is that little thing? It's dust on the balance. God is able. God is able. If you just take God at His word, believe what He says, by simple faith, you'd understand God is able. You'd learn how to pray. Because let's face it, my friend, what can you do? You can do a lot. I've seen what you can do. Some of you can build a pulpit. We need a new one. This one's breaking up. Somebody's kids must have thrown this one down. You notice that? That Polish pulpit is going the way of all the world. We need a good Texas pulpit. Amen. Made out of 2x stuff, 2x24. Something that's heavy enough that I can bang on it and it's not going to get hurt. I mean, we need some help here. And some of you could do it. There's some talented men inside here. And boy, when you get through with a piece of work, it's a beautiful piece of work. Well, why don't you do something about that? I know what you can do. But do you know what God can do? I mean, nothing that you desire, nothing that you can imagine is a problem for Him. That's right. Now, every week, I get problems I can't solve. You call me. We talk on the phone late at night. Send me an email. And you have problems I can't solve. Man, I'm flabbergasted. I don't know. Some of you ask me questions. Well, you're supposed to know everything. Well, I don't know. I remember some people in some of my classes, they would ask me some question about some verse in the Bible. Well, you're supposed to know the Bible. I don't know. They said, that's your answer? That's my answer. I don't know. When you find the answer, tell it to me and then we'll both know. Amen? God is able of these stones. How impossible is that to your mind? Has that ever struck you as you read that verse? I know you've read it. Has it ever struck you that to your mind that is absolutely out of the question? You don't believe that. You don't for a moment think John the Baptist was telling you the truth. But he was. God is able to raise up sons unto Abraham out of pure rock. What else could he do? You know, we got really smart men, and they have discovered all sorts of things. I'm fascinated with electricity. I'm fascinated with cell phones. You can't call me on one because I never leave it on. I just use it for me to call out. I bought it for my convenience, not for yours. But I am fascinated in the number of conversations going on in the air right here that we cannot see and cannot hear right now. I'm fascinated with 150 or 250 television broadcasts that are beaming right in this room right now. That fascinates me. Now, Knowing that, what else is there in this room that you have no clue about? That the greatest scientist in the world has never discovered, never dreamed, never imagined, has no idea, but a God who could take stones and make children out of stones has an awful lot out there you never considered. Why don't you get a little bigger picture of God? God is able. Do you believe that? Well, now, what about your marriage? Is God able?
Amen.
Oh, yes, He's able. What about your sons? Is God able? Oh, yes, He's able. What about your church? Is God able? You may not have the ability, but God is able. Maybe you haven't spent enough time talking to God about it. Maybe your problem is you're doing it. Maybe your problem is you're looking at your abilities or your lack of abilities. Maybe you're looking at what you can do or what you can't do rather than turning to God Almighty and asking Him to do it. How about an explosion? And so you get down today and you pray, oh God, give me an explosion. I've got faith today, Lord. Oh, give me an explosion. And nothing happens. And you say, okay, God's not willing, and you quit. Isn't that what you do? Isn't that what most of us do? Isn't that why you're sitting where you're sitting right now? Isn't that why you got the problems you got right now? Because you've given up, because you can't do? God is able. If God is able to take these stones and make sons of Abraham out of these stones, what could He do? Amen? That's a fascinating thought for me. God is able of these stones. Now, man, we're talking about impossible things, but that's what it says. Look, if you will, the book of Romans. Chapter 11. And verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. Romans 11, 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. This chapter speaks of Israel. And it talks about how Israel, the natural olive tree, has been cut off and put aside. And you, the wild olive tree, have been grafted in and live for God at the present time. That's beautiful. Do you know what grace is? Grace is you being the people of God. The grace of God is you being accepted by God. You being the depository of God. You being the house of God. That's grace. Now, many, many churches in Christianity think Israel is completely done. Boom, it's over. In fact, they take all the promises of Israel and apply them to the church. And they really muddy Scripture. Not rightly dividing the word of truth. But you know, it's an interesting statement right here. It's another one, though, that's a little bit hard to believe. It says, God is able to graft them in again if they will believe. I love that. I love that. Have you ever looked out at a group of people in unbelief? Go down to the jail on a Saturday night and watch the drunk pit. They bring them in there and you look at that and you think, that's humanity. Boy, it really lifts your spirit. You think, oh boy, we're really going to win a lot of these. All you rescue mission preachers, I know you go with such confidence, you're going to get 15 conversions each time you go preach. Get out on the streets and you're going to say, man, I'm preaching on the streets and everybody's going to fall down and say, God is in you of a truth. You been noticing that happen lately? I never did. God is able. You know what God can do? God can take the nation of Israel, cut them off, leave them dormant for 2,000 years, and if they will believe Him, and when they believe Him, graft them in again. Now, you can't do that. That's out of your power. You can do all you want to do to save the nation of Israel. You can get out there and you can do everything in the world to save that bunch of lost people in the world. But you don't have the power to graft them in. But God Almighty knows what He's doing. He's a great husbandman. He knows what the orchard is all about. He knows how the trees work. He can make anything. If He can make children out of rocks, He doesn't have problem grafting in a living thing. God is able. Maybe you're not praying enough. Maybe you don't have faith enough. Maybe you just need to get down day by day and quit being so busy getting to work and so busy mowing the lawn and so busy washing dishes and so busy chasing kids and so busy working down at the school and so busy doing so many things. Maybe you just need to get out on your face and believe the God you serve.
Amen.
Believe Him. Isn't that what He tells you all the way through the book? Get a picture of how big and how able God is.
Amen.
Now, I know you wouldn't think I could beat you in a race now. Most of you think I couldn't beat you in a fight right now. I'd have to hurt you quick. Because I don't have endurance to go very long. If you ran around me for about 5 minutes, I'd just fall down and I'd be whipped. So if you could keep running without me hitting you for a little while, the fight would be over. That's not the problem with God. You have various problems. If you concentrate on your failures, you concentrate on your assets, you concentrate on your abilities, you are going to be severely limited. But if you take a look at how big your God is, He's big. He's enormous. He's not some little God. The God you serve is able to do anything. In fact, it says you can think your biggest thought. You can imagine your greatest imagination and God is able. He's able to do it. If He's able to make children out of stones, if He's able to graft Israel back in, what could God do in your life? What could God do in you, for you, or through you today? Now let me tell you something. The problem is not God. God is able. The problem is your unbelief. You, in your wisdom, don't believe how big God is. You, in your experience, know your failures, but you haven't taken into consideration the power of an awesome, almighty God. That's how big He is. Verse 2 to the right, chapter 2 to the right, chapter 14, verse 4, Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God is able to make him stand. I look at a room where there are a lot of failures. If you knew the story of each one of the faithful men in this church right here, you would see a failure. Usually somebody who started and quit, who tried and gave up, who failed over and over again, and now they stand. Some of these men here that are pillars, they are pillars of this church. You can count on them. You can count on them to take care of the money. You can count on them to mow the lawn. You can count on them to clean the building. You can count on them to witness. You can count on them to preach on the streets. You can count on them to knock on somebody's door. You can count on them to teach a Sunday school class. You can count on them to give of their offerings. You can count on them to support missionaries. You can count on them because why? They stand. You know why? God is able to make him stand.
That's right. Amen.
And every one of these pillars that you look up to, you think, boy, that's a man. That's a Christian man. I'd like to be like that man. I want to be like you when I grow up, brother. Somebody criticized him. Somebody put him down. Somebody looked at him and said, worthless. Somebody looked at him and said, waste. They'll never do any good. That's a servant of God. Good night. That's supposed to be saved. What in the world? Oh, but God is able. God is able. Somewhere along the line, they got a hold of a picture of God and they said, God, do something in my life. God, come in and take over. And God was able. They stand by the grace of God. They helped my children help me celebrate 50 years of preaching the gospel, being saved. And you know what? I stand by the grace of God. Amen. Even physically. At 50 years old, I was blinded by diabetes. I couldn't tell my daughters right in front of me. I could not distinguish one from the other. Boy, was I scared. As blind as I was, I took a walking stick and walked till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning around the neighborhood, taking my slingshot and shooting dogs that came out and messed with me. But I was praying. Oh, God, what do I do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, what's the future? I honestly, with what the doctors told me and all that I read and studied, didn't believe I'd make it much past 60. I'm here. I'm still walking on both feet. I don't even have a black toe. I'm an old diabetic with no black toes. I got all 10 of them. They're not very pretty, but I got them. I'm seeing out of both eyes, and the last check after 20 years, no diabetes in my eyes. Now, I don't know about tomorrow. I had such a good party. I mean, they just bragged on me and treated me nice and waited on me and said all sorts of nice things. I had such a good party. Reckon if I preach 60 years, you give me another one? God is able. God is able to make him stand. How many of you criticize some of these young preachers or some of these fellows that get up and stand and share in an open meeting and maybe they don't have all the ability? I remember my first sermon. Verlene does too. And I'll guarantee you there wasn't anybody there predicting this is going to be a 50-year preacher. They thought his ministry is going to last about 2 weeks. That's about it. You criticize and you look around and you see the faults and failures and inabilities, and God can make him stand. And by the way, my friend, God can make you stand.
That's right. Amen.
Because God is able.
Amen.
God is able. Oh, I tell you what, I thank God for his ability and his willingness. You ever heard of somebody really being blessed by God and God just do a work through them? And you want that.
Amen.
Well, why don't you believe God and pray for it?
Amen.
And you know, not pray for it for your own pride.
Right.
How about pray for it for God to get the glory?
Amen.
You know, we might have a whole lot of bigger works done and great things done if people wanted God to get the glory.
That's right. Amen.
God's not interested in making you look big. He's really not interested in making you look good. In fact, in some cases, that would be an impossible thing. But God is able. God is able. Go back into the Old Testament with me. To Psalm 90, verse 1. I many times in my life have felt alone and lonely. I have felt defeated. I have felt like it was over. I have felt like with what I could see and with my own experience that I couldn't see going any further. I've been there. I've been so broke, I didn't know where. In fact, my kids had a 25-cent allowance, and I've had weeks I didn't have 25 cents to give them. They got their allowance on credit when I got some more money. Where do you live? Where do you live? Listen to what Moses said. Now, this is another fascinating statement. Just take it for what it says. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Where do you live? I've had car trouble way out in the middle of nowhere. I hate that. I really hate that. Now, car trouble, when I've got back into my house, you know, and I'm driving up in the driveway and the wheels fall off. Boom. Okay, no big deal. It's home. Thou hast been our dwelling place. Doesn't the Bible and New Testament tell us we will abide with you? Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you abide in Christ. And as long as you're in Christ, nothing can possibly take you out. You're in my hands. I'm in my Father's hands. You're indwelt by God, my born-again believer. You are indwelt by God. This great big God I've been talking about, He's inside you. He's not at some far-off distant temple. You don't have to make a trip to Mecca or to Rome or to some other place like that to get a hold of God. You don't have to go there. No, He's inside of you. You have direct contact. You don't have to reach out beyond the heavens and be loud enough to be heard beyond the North Star. No, you just have to whisper. You just have to think. And God's there. Moses makes a statement that ought to be the most comforting thing. Thou art our dwelling place in all generations. The people of God have always been protected. The people of God have a fortress around them. The people of God are defended every day in every way. Nothing can come into the people of God except God allows it in. Oh, now that's hard to believe. Especially if you've suffered a loss. Especially if you're in pain right now. It's hard to believe I'm in God. I'm in God. He's my dwelling place. That's what it says. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You're in the house of God. And I'm not talking about this little thing of wood and plaster. I'm talking about you're in the house of God. You dwell in Him. Now get a little different picture of you and your situation. You're walking down the road and there's a gang there. You're walking down the road and there's some robbers. You're walking down the road and there's a war. It's happening to Christians right now. At this moment, somewhere around the world, there's some Christian in dire straits and dire necessity. That's been our dwelling place. He is our dwelling place. I live in Him. I move in Him. I have my being in Him. In Him. You know what? That's the theme of the book of Ephesians. In Him. One of the great blessings of the gospel is I am in Christ. I'm a part of Him. He's a part of me. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I dwell in Him. He is my dwelling place. You know, if I would think of that more often, I wouldn't be near as scared as I get sometimes. I got a great big God. And that great big God has done great big things for you. He has provided for you so far. So great, so wonderful, and yet you walk around in fear all the time because you haven't realized I am in God. He is my dwelling place. There's another thing in Deuteronomy. Number 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, 27. Here's Moses again. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh my. Little kid's hanging down. His daddy's saying, turn loose. Turn loose, son. I've got you. Turn loose. He won't turn loose. No, I'm scared. I can't turn loose. Turn loose, son. I've got you. That's God. That's where you are. He's your refuge. You need a refuge? I do often. I need a hiding place, a place to run, a place to cry, a place to pray. I need a hiding place. I need someplace I can go and get away. I need someplace to be away from the telephone and away from the computer and away from the problems. I need a refuge. He is my refuge. And underneath, how many of you hanging by a thread today? You're just hanging by a thread today. I mean, your problems are big. They are so big to you, you think they're big to God. But that's because you haven't visioned how big God is. And you have not visioned His care for you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I don't believe Eddie or Billy ever had training wheels. I think my girls might have had training wheels. But I remember taking Eddie and Billy on a little bicycle and me running behind them to keep them from falling and getting hurt too quickly. They're learning to ride that bicycle, you know, and they're going back and forth. They're doing this, and Daddy's running behind them, you know, out of breath. He's running behind them, trying to keep up with that bicycle. They were safe. The minute they went too far, one old hand just grabbed the bicycle. It wasn't any problem to hold up that little kid on that bicycle and to bring him back straight. Have you ever thought how much God runs after you? You ever thought about God's care for you? How much He's listening to you? How much He's watching you? And you're teeter-tottering. You're losing your balance. You're ready to fall flat on your face. You're scared to death. And God's got the everlasting arms. And while you're crying and you're hurting, you're bleeding, you're in miserable pain, you're in fear of your life, He's got you. You were never in any danger of falling very far because God is able to make you stand. He's our refuge underneath of the everlasting arms. Look in Chronicles. I'm going to tell you the whole story, but a capsule version. Chapter 25. Amaziah was king in Jerusalem. And he wanted an army bigger than what he had. So he hired 100,000 fit soldiers out of Israel. Now he was king in Jerusalem, Judah. But he hired 100,000 fit soldiers out of Israel. And a prophet came to him. Now, by the way, he hired them for 100 talents of silver. I'm not sure how much that is, but it's an awful lot. That's a big payday. Verse 7, 25:7, 2 Chronicles 25:7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? I've already paid for them. The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You counting your losses today? If you walked out and did the will of God today, would it be a big loss? Would it cost you way too much to do what God wants you to do? Well, you know what? Amaziah got himself in league with a bunch of idolatrous believers, supposedly. Supposed to be the people of God, but they're idolatrous. They're out of favor with God. And the prophet, we don't even know the prophet's name, but the prophet tells him, but if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. Go on out. You'll die right out there when you go out there. Just go on. Do it. Have your way. Because God's able to take you down and God's able to make you rise. And he said, what about the money? Isn't that your biggest problem today? What about the money? The money, the money, the money. I don't have enough money. I want more money. Some of you get yourself in a real problem. You get the wrong job just because of the money. You ought to choose a job for a different reason besides the money. I know you don't believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. The money. Oh, the money. What would it cost me? The money. What did the prophet of God say? 100 talents of silver? God is able to give thee much more than this. Oh, you're counting on the wrong crowd, buddy. You've been looking up the wrong alley. You've been trusting the wrong things. You want that 100,000 fine fighting men out of the nation of Israel. I want them on my side. If I can't have them, can I get my money back? God is able to give thee much more than this. Forget the money and concentrate on God.
Amen.
That's some of your biggest problems. I'm not just talking about rich people or people who have great jobs. Some of you poor people are so covetous, you're so worried about the almighty dollar that you can't serve God. You are a pitiful servant of God for what, a few bucks? You're not even getting paid well to not serve God. I sort of understand somebody who's really being paid well to serve the world. But man, most Christians I know, they're getting a little bitty pittance to not serve God. Amen. Forget the money. Seek the Lord. One more verse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7. All you stingy guts, be sure you listen to me now. Some of you guys are so tight you make the buffalo squeak every time you spend a nickel. Somebody said they don't make buffalo nickels anymore. I'm giving you my age. Verse 7. Every man, you think you're excluded? That says every man. You tight-fisted, stingy gut. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give. How about the liberty of God? How about, he didn't say you got to give 10% or you got to give 20%. He said every man. But I can't see if a Jew under law gave 10%, how in the world a Christian get by giving less? You under grace, and you balk at 20% or 30% or even 50%. Ooh, I got out of line, didn't I? Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. God lets you give freely what you purpose to give. Wow. The eternal God, your refuge, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe, that stretched the heavens out with the span of His hand, who spoke the world into existence. He never broke a sweat. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. Not just because there's a bum out there looking for it, or somebody who wants to think they ought to get everything they got off you. Or, well, if I have to, if I have to, grudgingly. I sure hate to do it, but you peel out that money and just sort of make sure that you don't have two together. Every man according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It ought to be hallelujah offering time. Praise the Lord, I get a chance to give. And you bunch of dummies, if you had any sense at all and read your Bible at all, you'd know you can't outgive God.
Amen.
And that what you're giving down here, no thief can steal.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's not going to waste away. It's not going to rust. It's not going away. And what you're giving, God counts it an investment in eternity.
Amen.
He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Amen.
That's the command of God. And some of you think, oh yeah, I want a nickel when I get there. I'd like at least $10 when I get there. Some of you are so stingy, you don't give that. Shame on you. You ought to repent. You ought to say, God, forgive me. You ought to give your whole bank account today. Just in repentance.
Amen.
And you ought to do it cheerfully. Hallelujah. Here it is. Guys, when you count the money, I wonder how much it is today. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Did you hear that, what God is able to do?
Amen.
God, you know, but God doesn't do it for stingy guts.
That's right.
You haven't figured that out yet. Some of you dummies are so dense. You haven't figured out how to get a blessing from God. Try giving.
That's right.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll just, you know... Okay. It's terrible. I hate people. They never offer to pay. Are you like that? You always go out and want somebody else to pay? Get up and leave early and leave the other guy with a check? You one of those that run out and you drive around the parking lot along and see if somebody else hadn't left a nickel on a counter somewhere? I mean, we've got a meter here. It's got 20 minutes left. Let's get that one. Stingy. Oh, you ought to repent. This aisle ought to be full up here with a bunch of stingy people who don't give.
Amen.
Amen or oh me. Now you listen to what he says. Verse 8. There's just three little words I've been telling you about all day. And God is able. To give you back 10% for 10% or 100% for 10%. That ain't what it says. I don't know that God ever promised you that in this life. I know a lot of Pentecostals preach it. I know it goes out over the radio, you know, give God $10 and He'll give you back $1,000. Send for this little white cloth I got and it'll cure your cancer. Be sure and send $50 with it or $100 with it, you know, if you want to get cured from cancer. God is able to make all grace. You understand what grace is? Favor. Favor. I look at my life and I've been favored. I've been favored. It's by the grace of God I stand here today. By the grace of God I'm still preaching. It's by the grace of God I got all my children with me. It's by the grace of God. All my children are saved. All of them know the Lord. All of them serve the Lord.
Amen.
What grace.
Amen.
What grace. You want to know what that is? Go around and talk to some of these parents and that have hurt for their children and things going wrong and troubles here and there.
Yes.
God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Some of you live stingy lives. Spiritually stingy lives. You in your foolishness do not give time to God. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to consider how great God is. And then you wonder why you're where you are. He's able to make all grace. Let me tell you what, son. Grace is better than money. Hey, I'm not just talking money here. You may be the poorest one in here fighting to figure out where you're going to get the gas to get home.
But if you got the grace of God abounding in your life, there's not anybody got enough money to equal that out. Nobody's got enough money in the bank account to equal that out. He's able to make all grace abound towards you.
My Christian friend, you ought to get on your face and say, God, I apologize. Forgive me for thinking you're so small. For thinking my problems were ever a problem for you. For thinking my biggest and wildest fearful imagination would ever worry you a minute. He's that big. He has that ability. God is able. Some of you have been messing around and failing, messing up. God is able to make you stand.
Amen.
You need to seek God this day and let Him make you stand.
That's right.
And if you're here and you're not saved, you walk through these doors and you know if you died right now, you'd split hell wide open because you don't have what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Oh, God is able to save you. God is able to take away all your sins, cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ, forgive you them all. God is able to enter your heart, give you a drive and a purpose in your life that will last you 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. God's able to save your soul if you'll trust Him. God's able. God's able. Let's sing number 249.